I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and I told them about that starter.
Nice. Well, nobody ever listens to you anyway.
Nope, they sure don't.
Especially me.
Especially you.
Anyway, I use that word a lot anyway.
You do.
It's a great word.
It is a great word. Tommy's going to say something to you about it.
Probably.
Well, that's okay.
Well, anyway.
Hey, that's Tommy's job.
That's right.
To keep us radio jabronis in check.
I believe we have a guest.
And I believe we do, too.
Robert DeLaurentis.
Yes.
Sir.
Zen pilot.
Lama, polar lama, circumnavigator. Lama is not the word. No.
You guys want to do a PR for the trip? You're pretty good at this.
Yeah, well, we're full of R. Yeah,
do we get a seat on the plane?
You know, we have an extra seat, actually.
Woohoo!
And we're naming legs after major contributors.
So oh, boy.
You guys bring your checkbook. You can come along for sure.
All right.
Will you take cash?
I was going to say they have an extra seat, but it's not in the plane.
It's on the wing. Yay!
It's on the slow boat dragging this support equipment. Anyway, sir, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
You brought us a coloring book, which is interesting.
Mine.
Yeah. But you forgot your crayons.
Well, no, I'll borrow Tommy's.
Oh, nice.
This is neat. I like this coloring book. It's easy to read. It's well set up. It's got all kinds of educational material.
Well, the first thing you need to know is that you have to read it. Most coloring books you don't read.
No, there's a lot of...
There's a lot of words.
A lot of words. And it's a lot of... education about doing this. And here's one that I really like. It's one page here. It's called How High Can Citizen Fly? And it runs down the listing of aircraft in altitude. It starts out with the Blackbird and then goes on to the Concorde. And then several aircraft lower, you find Citizen of the World. That is a Turbo Commander 900. It's a Rockwell design, isn't it?
Actually, this is the later model. Rockwell did one, and then Gulfstream bought them out and made many modifications to the plane. They extended the wing to 52 feet, which added 10 feet to the wing. They moved one of the fuel bladders from the back of the plane to the new wing. They dropped the floorboard by 4 inches. They put the Dash 10 engines that allowed it to fly at 35,000 feet. And they increase the pressurization, so up at 35, you have 10,000 cabin foot pressure.
Wow. Now, is this airplane's not still in production, is it?
No. This is an 83, and I believe they made it for another year or two under the 1000, the Turbine Commander 1000. But this is the preferred plane. It has certain advantages that worked out well compared to the 1000, but they're both still good planes.
Well, the first advantage you have, obviously, is the fact that it runs on Jet A.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's an advantage and a disadvantage in some ways, because over the South Pole, Jet A gels. If it's Jet A1, it's minus 47. But I just learned about an additive that the military uses called Fizzy. And I was told about this stuff through Epic Fuels, and it drops the freezing temperature.
Right. So you're going to have to do some testing now.
Right. And, you know, a year in advance, we were monitoring temperatures over the South Pole, and at 35,000 feet, minus 67.
Yeah, that's
so
cold.
So we have 20 degrees to make up for, assuming I can get up to that altitude when I'm 40% over max gross.
Wow, that much?
Yeah, that's a bit.
That's a bit.
And that's a lot of rolls of toilet paper.
I was going to say, that's a lot of food on board.
You know, Charles Lindbergh, I think, ate a sandwich on his trip. I'm hoping to eat a little bit more. But, yeah, there's not going to be a ton of food on that flight.
So how many people are actually going on the plane? You and a co-pilot?
Well, for the dangerous legs over the South Pole and North Pole, it'll just be me. But on the other legs, we're opening that up to sponsors. And I talked to Women in Aviation yesterday. We'd love to have one of them come along. It's basically an opportunity to name a leg and contribute to the trip and have some impact on the world, too.
Okay. What's the main thrust of the coloring book? I mean, I like coloring books, but...
You know, the main thrust of the coloring book and another book we're going to release called The Little Plane That Could, and the third book after Zen Pilot called Citizen of the World to the Ends of the Earth and Beyond, is to get people excited about aviation. General Aviation does a great job of marketing to their 400,000 pilots, but what about the kids? How about the first exposure? How about grabbing them early in their lives? I was 47 when I started flying, which was way too late. So the idea is to get the kids excited about aviation and reach them at the level they're at. We're a not-for-profit, so we don't have to, you know, generate income each year. We can target people that aren't going to be pilots for 20 years.
Right.
And we'll be around in 20.
You got to plant the trees.
Absolutely. And, you know, EAA does a great job with their young kids, but we want to go even younger. you know, bedtime story.
There you go.
They have their book with Aviator, I guess, is a comic book.
Avior. Right.
But I don't know. Coloring books are cool.
Coloring books are way cool.
And this has a lot of activities in it as well. There's a maze thing. There's a word finder. There's many pictures of the aircraft.
You know, it would be fun to fly first class on some big expensive jet and you whip out your coloring book and start coloring.
Hey, they did it with Air America. Why not us?
That's right. That's right.
My favorite part of it is the little spot where you have to help me try and find the north and south poles by going through the maze.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully with some Avidyne avionics, I'll be able to find it a little easier.
It won't be such a maze, yeah. Yeah.
Well, with the state-of-the-art navigation as it is now, you shouldn't have any problems outside of contacting the countries.
Well, you know, the radio waves freeze over those poles, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. They lay on the ground there.
Actually, if you think about it, a compass is almost zero help.
That's right.
Well, here's the other interesting point, right? So magnetic compass doesn't work where the meridians meet.
Right.
And I've been told that GPS does not work either. But I talked to one of the engineers at Avidyne yesterday, and they were talking about how they simulated the North and South Poles and said that I should not have a problem. I've spoken to somebody who's flown in that area, and they say the way you get past it is to put a waypoint before the pole and after the pole, and then it'll fly directly through. And then our backup plan is a old-school directional gyro with a metal ball spinning at 15,000 RPMs, set a course, fly directly over it.
Right.
So we've got a couple options.
That's
hopefully
cool.
I was going to say, magnetic compass doesn't work. Now you're telling us the GPS doesn't work. Holy underwear, Batman. We're in trouble.
Yep. You know, they're going to use the WPS system.
Which is?
Watermelon positioning system. They're going to throw watermelons out of the airplane as they fly.
That explains the 40% over gross weight.
Yes, that's a lot of watermelons.
You know, and it's 24 hours of daylight down there. So, you know, I don't know where the sun will be exactly when I'm flying over
the
pole.
Be in your eyes, obviously. The worst place to
always
ever.
Always is.
Dead off the nose.
You know, I have a plan for that, too. I don't know if you've seen these. They're Shaden Zen sunglasses, and the bottom level, you can see it's clear near the bottom, so you can see your panel. Mm-hmm. It's a little darker, and that's for below the clouds. Mm-hmm. And then as you get above the clouds, you just flip the top one down, and you get double filtration. So these were designed specifically for my flight.
No kidding.
But they're great for pilots everywhere.
Well, pilots that don't wear prescriptions.
You know that?
Yeah, well, they can also make these prescription as well.
Nice.
There is a lot of cool factor going on there.
Yeah, no kidding.
And speaking of cool, it's going to be kind of chilly up at the North and South Poles. How are you preparing for that besides turning the heat all the way up?
Well, you know, I've got an astrophysicist on the team. His name is Brian Keating. And he told me, he goes, look, you need to be over the South Pole on January 1st, 2019, because it's going to be one of the longest, warmest days of the year. And when I leave Punta Arenas, it should be around freezing. So it's only colder as it gets up, and we were hoping to get into the inversion layer where it would get warmer, then I could get past the fuel gelling issues, but the plane can't fly that high.
Darn.
So inside the plane, though, I'm told it's not going to be an issue because those two turboprop engines generate a lot of heat.
All the bleed air.
Yeah, I can really cook the inside of the cabin if I want. Plus, I'll have survival gear, so, you know, extra warm clothing.
I was going to say one word. Blubber. Put on a layer of blubber before you
start
go.
Eating.
Well, you're going to be wearing the survival gear in the airplane before you take off, obviously, because if you have a forced landing or something, it's not going to do you any good to put it on after.
Well, you know, that neoprene immersion suit is a thick layer of rubber, and it certainly provides a lot of warmth. There's a few different philosophies on survival gear, though. The last guy who did the trip, he didn't bring any. He believed that fuel was more valuable to him for his survival than the equipment.
So he wasn't concerned with a mechanical problem.
I asked him, I said, hey, how did you stay awake for your 20-plus hour leg? And he goes, Robert, I was afraid the entire time.
Yeah.
So maybe no need for Red Bull or anything like that.
Yeah, adrenaline does it every time.
Either that or you attach a taser to the seat, you know. You feel it, senses you nodding off. And
he probably slept for 3 days after he landed on that leg, too.
You know, I have a AmSafe airbag on the seat, so I don't know how the taser would interact with that.
Maybe we can work around that.
Oh, we'll figure something out. You know, we could just wire it directly in your survival suit.
There you go.
Just wire it on the yoke. Give him a little tickle every now and then. Ooh. Pull up.
Could be a terrain warning device.
There you go. Anyway, where are you here on the field?
I'm actually moving around. I have a presentation today at 1 o'clock in the Vet Theater, which is in the museum. And that's on the same topic as this DVD, which is Overcoming the Fear of Flying, Unleashing Potential, which is the same topic I lectured for AOPA on last year.
Okay.
So we've given that, or I've given that presentation enough times, it's pretty refined.
Something as pilots we don't even think about too much, but I mean, there's so much of the flying public that's scared to death of airplanes and all that.
I don't know a single pilot who's never been afraid in a cockpit. And for me, it was communications.
Right.
Some people, it's navigation or fuel. So I originally designed the course for pilots moving through their ratings, but at the presentations I've given, I'd say probably 75% of the people that show up are the right seaters or people that want to learn how to fly. And this project with Gleim Aviation, since they're very active with the high schools, I said to them, I go, you know, if adults are afraid to fly, surely the kids are too. So the plan is to use that in 26,000 of the high schools around the United States.
Well, that's very, very cool. And this DVD is available now or will be shortly?
Well, they're in production now. What you have there is a mock-up of it.
Okay.
If somebody wants it, they can go to www.DeLaurentisFoundation.org and order it there.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been Robert DeLaurentis with many balls in the air. And this is EAA Radio. I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. Llama, 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 llama. EAA Radio.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.